Happy Sunday.
The content of this program is intended for the people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, my name is Jim DeJunis, and I'm reading to you today from the North Carolina Reading Service. And the name of our program is Reflections. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the Holy Bible. This week, we're reading from Isaiah. We'll also read a devotional called Jesus Calling, written by Sarah Young. And as normal, let's start with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this glorious day, this day that you have made indeed. Lord, we ask you to bless us, bless the words we hear and the words that are spoken. We ask that our hearts be touched, and we ask that our faith be shared with others. We ask that our faith be alive, that we may have your peace and your wisdom. And we thank you so much for your Son, Jesus, for your Holy Spirit, and the gift of grace and the gift of faith. Be with our families, our loved ones, our friends, and be with the North Carolina Reading Service as we thank them for these programs that we so very much enjoy. So Sarah Young teaches us this day to do everything in dependence on me. The desire to act independently apart from me springs from the root of pride. Self-sufficiency is subtle, insinuating its way into the thoughts and actions without you realizing it. But apart from me, you can do nothing. That is nothing of eternal value. My deepest desire for you is that you learn to depend on me in every situation. I move heaven and earth to accomplish this purpose, but you must collaborate with me in this training. Teaching you would be simple if I negated your free will or overwhelmed you with my power. However, I love you too much to withdraw the godlike privilege I bestowed on you as my image bearer. Use your freedom wisely by relying on me constantly. Thus, you enjoy my presence and my peace. Sarah's got three scriptures that support this reading. First one is John 15:5, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Ephesians 6, verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And then from Genesis chapter 1, then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Thank you, Sarah, for those beautiful words, those words of encouragement, and those words of everlasting peace. So we had finished, we had gone through Isaiah 25, our last visit, and we're going to start with chapter 26. And just as a reminder, the first third of Isaiah or so has to do with the prophecy of Judah having problems because of their falling out of God's favor. And their falling out of God's favor was because of their sin. They turned their back on God. They did not acknowledge him. They did not worship him. They did not look towards him for his guidance, his favor. And as Israel did, their northern brothers, and they had already fallen to Assyria. And now there's a prediction of Judah falling the same way. The second third, or the last two-thirds of Isaiah talk about salvation and many prophecies of that salvation. And some of that actually starts today. So let's pick that up, chapter 26, and it reads, in that day this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God makes salvation its walls and ramparts. Open the gates that the righteous nation may enter, the nation that keeps faith. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast, because he trusts in you. That's an early reflection point. Chapter 26, verse 3, you, God, will keep in perfect peace those whose mind is steadfast, those who trust in you. So if you trust in God with all your heart, he promises you perfect peace. There are many promises in the Bible of his peace. Jesus talked about peace in John 14 and John 16, that, you know, hey, you may have hard times, but, you know, I came to give you peace, and my giving is different from the way other people give. he wants you to have his peace. And the way to have it is to truly give your heart to Jesus, to believe in him with all your heart, your mind, and your soul, to acknowledge God as our creator, and to put all our faith and trust in him. And then in return, we will have his peace. He doesn't say we're going to have perfect lives. He's just saying we'll have his peace. So even in trials and tribulations, we can still have peace, but it requires us to be steadfast in him and trust in him. So again, chapter 26, verse 3, you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is the rock eternal. He humbles those who dwell on high. He lays the lofty city low. He levels it to the ground and casts it down to the dust. Feet trample it down, and the feet of the oppressed, the footsteps of the poor. The path of the righteous is level. O upright one, you make the way of the righteous smooth. Yes, Lord, walking in the way of your laws, we wait for you. Your name and renown we are the desire of our hearts. My soul yearns for you in the night. In the morning, my spirit longs for you. When your judgments come upon the earth, the people of the world learn righteousness. Though grace is not shown to the wicked, they do learn righteousness. Even in the land of uprightness, they go on doing evil and regard not the majesty of the Lord. O Lord, your hand is lifted high, but they do not see it. Let them see your zeal for your people and be put to shame. Let the fire reserved for your enemies consume them. Lord, you establish peace on us. All that we have accomplished, you have done for us. O Lord, our God, our lords besides you have ruled over us. But your name alone do we honor. They are now dead. They live no more. Those departed spirits do not rise. You punished them and brought them to ruin. You wiped out all memory of them. You have enlarged the nation, O Lord. You have enlarged the nation. You have gained glory for yourself. You have exalted all the borders. You have extended all the borders of the land. Lord, they come to you in their distress. When you discipline them, they could barely whisper a prayer. As a woman with child and about to give birth writhes and cries out in her pain, so were we in your presence, O Lord. We were child. We writhed in pain, but we gave birth to wind. We have not brought salvation to the earth. We have not given birth to the people of the world. But your dead will live. Their bodies will rise. You who dwell in the dust, wake up and shout for joy. Your dew is like the dew of the morning. The earth will give birth to her dead. That verse 19 is a promise of the resurrection. As Christ rose from the dead on the third day to give new life to all of us who believe, we also will be raised on that day of judgment. Jesus will give the command, and those who follow him will also have a resurrection. Praise God. So verse 20, go, my people, enter your rooms and shut the doors behind you. Hide yourselves for a little while until his wrath has passed by. See, the Lord is coming out of his dwelling to punish the people of the earth for their sins. The earth will disclose the bloodshed upon her. She will conceal her slain no longer. Chapter 27. In that day the Lord will punish with his sword, his fierce, great, and powerful sword, Leviathan, the gliding serpent, Leviathan, the coiling serpent. He will slay the monster of the sea. In that day, sing about a fruitful vineyard. I, the Lord, watch over it. I water it continually. I guard it day and night so that no one may harm it. I am not angry. If only there were briars and thorns confronting me, I would march against them in a battle. I would set them on fire. Or else let them come to me for refuge. Let them make peace with me. Yes, let them make peace with me. In days to come, Jacob will take root. Israel will bud and blossom and fill all the world with fruit. Has the Lord struck her as he struck down those who struck her? No. Has she been killed as those who killed her were killed? By warfare and exile, you contend with her. With his fierce blast, he drives her out, as on a day the east wind blows. By this, then, will Jacob's guilt be atoned for, and this will be the full fruitage of the removal of sin? What makes all the altar stones to be like chalk stones crushed to pieces? No asher pole or incense altars will be left standing. The fortified city stands desolate. an abandoned settlement, forsaken like the desert. There the calves graze, there they lie down, they strip its branches bare. When its twigs are dry, they are broken off, and women come down and make fire with them. For this is a people without understanding, so their Maker has no compassion on them, and their Creator shows them no favor. Verse 12. In that day the Lord will thresh from the flowering Euphrates to the Wadi of Egypt, and you, O Israelites, will be gathered up one by one. And in that day a great trumpet will sound. Those who were perishing in Assyria and those who were exiled in Egypt will come and worship the Lord on the holy mountain in Jerusalem. Chapter 28. Woe to Ephraim. Woe to the wreath, the pride of Ephraim's drunkards, to the fading flower, his glorious beauty, set on the head of a very fertile valley, to that city, the pride of those laid low by wine. See, the Lord has one who is powerful and strong, like a hailstorm and destructive wind, like a driving rain and a flooding downpour, he will throw it forcefully to the ground. That wreath, the pride of Ephraim's drunkards, will be trampled underfoot. That fading flower, his glorious beauty, set on the head of a fertile valley, will be like a fig ripe before the harvest. As soon as someone sees it and takes it in his hand, he swallows it. In that day, the Lord Almighty will be a glorious crown, a beautiful wreath for the remnant of his people. He will be a spirit of justice to him who sits in judgment, a source of strength to those who turn back at the battle of the gate. And these also stagger from wine and reel from beer. Priests and prophets stagger from beer and are befuddled with wine. They reel from beer. They stagger from seeing visions. They stumble when rendering decisions. All the tables are covered with vomit, and there is not a spot without filth. Who is he trying to teach? To whom is he explaining his message? To children weaned from their milk? To those just taken from the breast? For it is, do and do and do and do and rule on rule, a little here and a little there. Very well then, let foreign lips and strange tongues, God will speak to his people. To whom he said, this is the resting place, let the weary rest. And this is the place of repose, but they would not listen. So then the word of the Lord to them will become, do and do and do and do, rule on rule, rule on rule, a little here, a little there, so that they will go and fall backward, be injured, ensnared, and captured. Therefore hear the word of the Lord, you scoffers, you rule, who rule this people in Jerusalem. You boast, we have entered into a covenant with death, with the grave, we have made an agreement. When an overwhelming scourge sweeps by, it cannot touch us. For we have made a lie our refuge and falsehood our hiding place. So this is what the sovereign Lord says. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a foundation. The one who trusts will never be dismayed. I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the plumb line. Hail will sweep away your refuge. The lie and the water will overflow your hiding place. That's just a prophecy right there of Jesus Christ coming, the cornerstone, the precious cornerstone. And those who trust in him will never be dismayed. Verse 18, the covenant with death will be annulled. Your agreement with the grave will not stand. When the overwhelming scourge sweeps by, you will be beaten down. You will be beaten down by it. As often as it comes, it will carry you away, morning after morning, by day and by night. It will sweep through. The understanding of this message will bring sheer terror. The bed is too short to stretch out on, the blanket too narrow to wrap around you. The Lord will rise up as he did at Mount Perazim. He will rouse himself in the valley of Gibeon to do his work, his strange work, and perform his task, his alien task. Now stop your mocking, or your chains will become heavier. The Lord Almighty has told me of the destruction decreed against the whole land. Listen and hear my voice. Pay attention and hear what I say. When a farmer plows for planting, does he plow continually? Does he keep on breaking up and harrowing the soil? When he has leveled the surface, does he not sow caraway and scatter cumin? Does he not plant wheat in its place, barley in its plot, and spelt in its field? His God instructs him and teaches him the right way. Caraway is not threshed with a sledge, nor is cartwheeled, rolled over cumin. Caraway is beaten out with a rod and cumin with a stick. Grain must also ground to make bread, so one does not go on threshing it forever. Though he drives the wheels of the threshing cart over it, his horses do not grind it. All this comes from the Lord Almighty, wonderful counsel and magnificent wisdom. Chapter 29. Woe to you, Ariel, the city where David settled. Add year to year and let your cycle of festivals go on. Ariel is another name for Jerusalem. Yet I will besiege Ariel. She will mourn and lament. She will be to me like an altar hearth. I will encamp against you all around. I will encircle you with towers and set up my siege works against you. Brought low, you will speak from the ground. Your speech will mumble out of the dust. Your voice will become ghost-like from the earth. Out of the dust of your speech will whisper. But your many enemies will become like fine dust, the ruthless hordes like blown chaff. Suddenly, in an instant, the Lord Almighty will come with thunder and earthquake and great noise, the windstorm and tempest and flames of devouring fire. Then the hordes of all the nations that fight against Ariel, that attack her and her fortress and besiege her, will be as it is with a dream, with a vision in the night, as when a hungry man dreams of his eating, but he awakens and his hunger remains, as when a thirsty man dreams that he is drinking, but he awakens faint, with his thirst unquenched. So it will be with the hordes of all nations that fight against Mount Zion. Be stunned and amazed, blind yourselves and be sightless. Be drunk, but not from wine. Stagger, but not from beer. The Lord has brought over you a deep sleep. He has sealed your eyes. He has covered your heads. For this whole vision is nothing but words sealed in a scroll. And if you give the scroll to someone who can read and say to them, "Read this, please," he will answer, "I can't, it is sealed." Or if you give the scroll to someone who cannot read and say, "Read this, please," he will answer, "I do not know how to read." The Lord says, "These people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is made up of rules taught by men." Wow, man, those words really hurt my heart. Again, this is chapter 29, verse 13. The Lord says, "These people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is made up only of rules taught by men." There are many a people that will consult with a person next door or at work or at the street corner or wherever versus consulting with God. And sometimes sometimes what we're taught is not the reality. We need to really go to the Word to understand what God expects from us. And we need to go to the Word to understand who Jesus was and is and will be again. Verse 14, "Therefore, once more I will astound these people with wonder upon wonder. The wisdom of the wise will perish. The intelligence of the intelligent will vanish. Woe to those who go to great depths to hide their plans from the Lord, who do their work in the darkness and think, 'Who sees us? Who will know?' You turn things upside down as if the potter were thought to be like the clay. Shall what is formed say to him whom formed it, 'He did not make me'? Can the pot say to the potter, 'He knows nothing'? In a very short time, will not Lebanon be turned into a fertile field and the fertile field seem like a forest? In that day the deaf will hear the words of the scroll, and out of the gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind will see. Once more the humble will rejoice in the Lord, the needy will rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. The ruthless will vanish, the mockers will disappear, and all who have an eye for evil will be cut down. Those who with a word make a man out to be guilty, who ensnare the defender in court, and with false testimony deprive the innocent of justice. Therefore, this is what the Lord, who redeemed Abraham, says to the house of Jacob. No longer will Jacob be ashamed. No longer will their faces grow pale. When they see among them their children, the work of my hands, they will keep my holy name. They will acknowledge the holiness of the Holy One of Jacob, and will stand in awe of the God of Israel. Those who are wayward in spirit will gain understanding. Those who complain will accept instruction." That's a promise, another prophecy. We will no longer be ashamed. We will see the work of God. If we were wayward, we will no longer be wayward. And we will accept his instruction. Chapter 30. Woe to the obstinate children, declares the Lord, to those who carry out plans that are not mine, formed an alliance, but not by my spirit, heaping up sin upon sin, who go down to Egypt without consulting me, who look for help to Pharaoh's protection, to Egypt's shade of refuge. But Pharaoh's protection will be like your shame. Egypt's shade will bring you disgrace. Though you have officials in zone, and their envoys have arrived in Haines, everyone will be put to shame because of a people useless to them, who bring neither help nor advantage, but only shame and disgrace. An oracle concerning the animals of Negev. Through a land of hardship and distress, of lions and lionesses, of adders and darting snakes, the envoys carry their riches on donkeys' backs, their treasures of the humps of, on the humps of camels, to that unprofitable nation, to Egypt, whose help is utterly useless. Therefore I call her Rahab, the do-nothing. Go now, write it on a tablet for them, inscribe it on a scroll, that for the days to come it may be an everlasting witness. These are rebellious people, deceitful children, children unwilling to listen to the Lord's instruction. They say to their seers, see no more visions, and to their prophets, give us no more visions of what is right. Tell us pleasant things, prophesy illusions. Leave this way, get off this path, and stop confronting us with the Holy One of Israel. That is called ignorance. That is called not knowing what reality is. So he's prophesizing here that Egypt didn't want to know what the reality of the Lord was. They wanted to put their head in the sand. Just tell us good things. Don't confront us with the Holy One. So a lesson there for sure. Therefore, and this is chapter 30, verse 12. Therefore, this is what the Holy One of Israel says. Because you have rejected this message, relied on oppression, and depended on deceit, this sin will become for you like a high wall, cracked and bulging, that collapses suddenly in an instant. It will break in pieces like pottery, shattered so mercilessly that among its pieces not a fragment will be found, for taking coals from a hearth or scooping water out of a cistern. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength, but you would have none of it. That's another verse I have studied over time, and it's a beautiful verse. Again, this is chapter 30, verse 15. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength, but you would have none of it. God calls on us to repent. He calls on us to rest in him, in his salvation. He asks us to be quiet, and he asks us to trust. In that way, we are strengthened. How many of us take time of every day to sit there quietly, just trusting in him? How many of us take time every day just to rest, to repent our sins to God, to look for that strength that is found in him and for him alone? And it says, but you would have none of it. Most of us have none of it. Please, I'd ask you, I'd deplore you, I implore you to consider days when you wake up. Wake up 10 minutes earlier, 15 minutes earlier, 5 minutes earlier. Spend that time with God. Be in prayer. Give praise to God. Rest in him. You said, no, we will flee on horses, therefore you will flee. You said, we will ride off on swift horses, therefore your pursuers will be swift. 1,000 will flee at the threat of one. At the threat of 5, you will all flee away, till you are left like a flagstaff on a mountaintop, like a banner on a hill. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion, for the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. O people of Zion who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. Although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, the teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes, you will see them. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." Then you will defile your idols overlaid with silver and your images covered with gold. You will throw them away like a minstrel cloth and say to them, "Away with you." He will also send you rain for the seed you have sown into the ground, and the food that comes from the land will be rich and plentiful. In that day your cattle will graze in broad meadows. The oxen and donkeys will work the soil, will eat fodder and mash, spread out with fork and shovel. In that day of great slaughter, when the towers fall, streams of water will flow in every high mountain and every lofty hill. The moon will shine like the sun, and the sunlight will be seven times brighter, like the light of seven full days, when the Lord binds up the bruises of his people and heals the wounds he inflicted. See, the name of the Lord comes from afar, with burning anger and dense clouds of smoke. His lips are full of wrath, and his tongue is a consuming fire. His breath is like a rushing torrent, rushing up to the neck. He shakes the nations of the sea of destruction. He places the jaws of his people a bit that leads them astray. And you will sing as on the night you celebrate the holy festival. Your hearts will rejoice as when people go up with flutes to the mountain of the Lord, to the rock of Israel. The Lord will cause men to hear his majestic voice, and he will make them see his arm coming down with raging anger and consuming fire, with cloudburst and thunderstorm and hail. The voice of the Lord will shatter Assyria, and with his scepter he will strike them down. Every stroke the Lord lays on them with his punishing rod will be to the music of tambourines and harps, as he fights them in battle with the blows of his arm. Topheth has long been prepared. It has been made ready for the king. Its fire pit has been made deep and wide with an abundance of fire and wood. The breath of the Lord, like a stream of burning sulfur, sets it ablaze. Chapter 31. You know, we're going to go ahead and stop there. We only have another minute or so for today's reading. So we've covered chapter 25 through 31, or through 30. And again, some great, great lessons. We are certainly called to be quiet and trust in God and to receive his strength. We're also asked to make sure that we turn towards him in all things. He wants to be part of our world. He wants us to look towards him in all things. He wants to be our savior, our solution, our everything. And we should do that. And one easy way to do that is to spend time with him every day, with scripture, with prayer, just silence, like he said, rest. Rest. And we can certainly take those words from Isaiah to heart. So let's end with a prayer, and I look forward to seeing everyone next week. So Heavenly Father, please be with our patrons this day, our audience. Guide them this day and every day, and may your word be upon their hearts, their minds, and their souls. We've run out of time for today's episode of Reflections. Please be sure to listen to us again next week. I'm reading to you for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for the people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections is available on a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please give us a call at 919-832-5138. Peace, and may God bless you and those you love this day and every day.